Pastor Leon and his wife Sheila founded Gospel Tabernacle Church in 1982 in the heart of Lawrence, South Carolina. Since then, the Lord has richly blessed and increased the ministry and family of Gospel Tabernacle Church. Here at Gospel Tabernacle, we believe in the power of the Word of God to change the hearts and lives of believers. Gospel Tabernacle is a family church ministering to the whole family through the charismatic teaching ministry. Today's message will grow your faith and draw you close to the Lord as you open your heart to God's Word and His Spirit.
All right, let's open the Bible to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to read for a text what I've been reading the last couple of weeks as we've looked into the book of Mark, and we're going to bring you to a place. What I'm about to share with you, as I've been sharing, could be a hallmark of the blessings of God in your life. It's the way. It's the way things happen in the kingdom of God. You get this down. And you start applying this kind of stuff into your heart and into your life and everyday practice and experience, you'll see things change around you. You won't be wishing and hoping that something would happen. You'll just know exactly what you are to do and how to do it to make things happen in the kingdom of God. God has His will for you, and it's there for all of us. It's displayed in the Word of God. We can easily know what His will is by looking into the Word of the Lord. And so once we find that out, applying that will to our life is this method I'm talking about. In the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 26, notice, he said, Jesus said, so is the kingdom of God. In other words, the kingdom of God is like this. So is the kingdom of God. This is how the kingdom of God works. As if a man should cast seed into the ground. In other words, it's like planting seed and you're going to produce a crop and you're going to have a harvest from that crop. Verse 27, he should sleep, rise night and day, and the seed that he's planted, should spring up and grow up. He does not know how. And you're going to have to get past that some of that kind of rational thinking, to thinking you can figure out how everything works. We don't know how everything works, but we do know when something does work. And we know that planting good seed in good fertile soil that receives the proper amount of maybe fertilizer and water and care and cultivation and that kind of is going to produce a plant, and that plant's going to produce a crop, something that we can enjoy in our lives. We know that hats work, but we don't know all about the molecules and how they, you know, infuse one another and create this and that. I don't understand all that, but I know that it works. And that's what he's saying. Verse 28, the earth brings forth of herself. If you put it in the earth will cause that to happen. First, notice this, first, the blade. Little bit that you see coming out, poking the little, little plant out of the ground, out of the soil. The blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. He is actually talking about grain. For a lot of us in South Carolina, when we see that word corn, we're automatically thinking corn. It's the same principle if you're thinking about corn, same thing. But he's actually speaking about grain here. But notice, there is a first, there is a then, and then there is a full corn in the ear. If you can get that understood in your life, it'll help you so much in your prayer life, help you so much in applying the Word of God to your life, and your understanding of how God moves and works in your life. Three things. First. After the first, there is a then. Then doesn't happen until after the first. After the first and after the then, there is a after that. And after that. There's first, then, after that. In other words, it's not just one little quick thing, one ball of wax, it's all over, it's all done. No, there are three things that are taking place. It is a process. The kingdom of God works by a process. The kingdom of God works by a method of doing things in the order that God says for us to do them. The first, the then, and then the after that. And so keep that in your thinking when you think about the things of God. Then notice verse 29. When the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. But now the harvest doesn't come until the fruit is brought forth. The fruit is not brought forth until first, then, and after that. So think about the things in life that you want to accomplish in your life, things you want to do, things you want to happen in your life. There is this method. Let's say, for example, someone says that I want to be blessed in a way of our home and our family, and you have a terrible relationship with your spouse. Well, you know, it just doesn't say, well, I want a good relationship, God, give me one, and bam, you got one. It doesn't work that way. You have to do the things that will cause a good relationship in that family. You have to apply the things that God tells you to apply to receive that good relationship. It works the same thing health-wise. It works the same way, for example, losing weight. It works the same way whatever we do. It's not an instantaneous kind of thing that takes place and happens. It's a method. It's a process that we put into play in our lives. And Jesus tells us that, well, the kingdom of God is exactly the same way. Some people have the idea that they come to God, that God's sovereign, he's great, he's almighty, and God does what he wants, when he wants, the way he wants, just like he wants, and that kind of thing. Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus taught us how to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Yet I can look on earth and I can see a lot of what is going on is certainly not God's will. It's not his will for death and destruction, pain and suffering and hardship and all these kind of things that people go through on this earth. Yet we're told to pray that. So that prayer doesn't immediately come to pass. It will one day. We're praying for God's kingdom to come. His kingdom spiritually has come inside of we believers. But for the rest of the world, you know what? It's taking a little time. And Jesus is going to come and bring that kingdom into the earth. And so we are to pray that. There is a process for things to happen. It's the same way in your own spiritual life. If you say, well, I feel cold. I feel away from God. I don't feel like I know God. I don't feel like I know who God is. Well, you don't just say at the very beginning, Lord God, I want to know you, and all of a sudden you know everything about God. No, there's a process. What do? First, we get introduced to God through the power of the new birth. We ask the Lord God to forgive us of our sins. God doesn't fellowship with unrighteousness. And so we ask God to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He applies the blood of Jesus that the song talked about that cleanses our heart. And when it does, it places us in a place where we are in relationship with God. Still, you don't know everything there is to know about God. At that point, you become a disciple of the Lord. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, when Jesus told the disciples, go and make disciples. In other words, make followers, people who invest themselves in God, begin to study the Word of God, begin to learn the Word of the Lord, begin to pray, begin to be in relationship with God, with other believers, and you grow in this process of your salvation. And the Bible says we work out our salvation with fear and trembling before God. And so we continually move in that way toward God. That's a process that happens. And so everything like that you can think of, just about, that I know about, it's going to happen. It may have a starting point, but you develop it when it is there. You can have talents and abilities in your life, but, you know, you can't put those things to use until you begin to exercise and practice with those talents and abilities in your life that you have. And so, keep that in mind. There is a process from receiving from God. We learn in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, that it's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Don't ever doubt that. God wants you to have everything that he's promised you in the kingdom. And he just told us this is how the kingdom of God works. And so for me to receive what God wants me to have, his good pleasure in this kingdom, I have to work this process. The first, the sowing and reaping that he's talked about. He told us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, that God's in working us both to do and will his good pleasure. And so God's on the inside just pushing and urging and encouraging and just, you know, wanting to lead you along the way to receive from him the things that God wants in your life. We looked at that. We found out one of the most vital things for this foundation that you have is a life of faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so when I'm seeking God for whatever area of my life, I have to believe that God's going to do that. I have to believe his word where he has promised me that he will. And once I do, I'm at a place of faith. That's my foundation that's laid before God. But faith alone that you do not exercise and you do not apply to your life, faith alone is not going to get it for you. You have to move in this process that he's talking about. We saw that. We saw in Scripture that if we lack faith, Romans 10, 17, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And get that settled, this thing that the Lord spoke to me almost 2.5 weeks ago now, get that settled in your life, that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. When he showed me the book of Matthew, that what we can do in our lives, for example, we say, I can get faith another way. If I just saw this happen, if the skies just burst open, or if this just happened, then I'd be a believer. Jesus said this when he talked to the rich man and Lazarus, Luke chapter 16 as well, when he talked to him there, and he said this, he said that, you know what, I've got five brothers, and I've found myself after my death in this place called hell. I've got five brothers. I don't want them coming here. Send somebody back from the dead. Now, that'd be a great miracle, somebody coming back from the dead to talk to them, to try to persuade them not to come to this terrible place. Jesus said, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the word of God. Let them hear them. And he argued with Jesus. He argued with Father Abraham, isn't it? Jesus is telling a parable. But he argued with him and said, No. If one went back from the dead, they would believe. Father Abraham said, no. If they won't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe that one rose from the dead. And so it is this way. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Everybody say faith. Say it again. Say faith comes by hearing. It comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you're trying to get faith any other way, you can search the scriptures and not find that avenue of faith. It's not going to be there other than right here that we read in Romans chapter 10, verse 70. We saw in Titus 3, 5, that it is not by any works of righteousness we have done, but according to his power, the Holy Spirit power, he has washed us, he has renewed us by the power of the Holy Ghost in our life. The Holy Spirit comes in our lives at this new birth, and he cleans us up inside, makes us all fresh and new and brand new, and we're ready to receive. He's the one that gives us the ability that we might receive. But then we all know what we all have as well, this thing called a mind, and this mind sometimes is in conflict with the things of God. We saw in Romans 12, verse 2, that the word of God comes into our life and it renews our mind. So we know how to get renewal on the inside, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know how to renew this mind that we have, the power of the word of God. And so we looked at both of those things. We saw those together. We began to look at this great thing that I just love in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 that tells us, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. We reap what we sow. It is a law that is not changed, never will be changed. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter 8 and verse 22, for as the earth remains, so long as it does, seed time and harvest, cold and winter shall not cease. It will never, ever stop. Sowing and reaping always works. Whatever you invest yourself into, it's that that you're going to receive something back from. No investment of yourself. No reaching out and applying yourself in whatever area it is. Not going to receive anything. Don't let that man think he will receive anything from God. James tells us in chapter 1, verse 6. All right. We looked at that as well. We saw in Luke 8, 11 where Jesus said this. The word of God is the seed. So you say, I understand how I'd go plant a garden. And how I'd put these little seeds into the field and we'd see a crop come up and we get a harvest. I understand that. But how do I plant seeds in my life? How do I do that? Jesus told us that the seed is the word of God. In other words, that confession we make, the ever-living seed. This is a seed I plant into my life. And as I hear the word of God, I'm planting a seed on the inside. And depending on what kind of crop I want, depends on what kind of seed I plant. There are seeds in here that talk about, as I mentioned last Sunday, the scripture tells me to enjoy the wife of my youth. And so that's the seed that I plant in my life. I enjoy our relationship together. I enjoy the wife of my youth. We enjoy one another. We are delighted to live with another. We're happy, you know, all those kind of things that take place in our home, our marriage, our love life that we have, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever you want to call us. We love it. Scripture tells me to. That's the seed that I planted into my life and won't venture from that. They're not going to begin calling her the old battle axe or anything like that. Not going to talk about her in a way that's disparaging to her. And she's not going to speak that any kind of way that's disparaging to me. We're going to talk and speak of our love one toward another. That's the seed that we plant into our life. And because of that, we have a great manifestation of love in our lives. And so, Scripture teaches us that this is the seed. Whatever it is that you need, plant this seed into your heart and into your life. It will produce. Now listen, what will not produce? Sometimes we think, I've got a need, and God will see my need and just meet my need. Well, you know, you could go out to the field out there, the one right above us where we had all our bread prepared trees just cut down. You can see that field real well now. You go out there and look at all you want to and say, well, that field needs a good crop and a good stand of corn out there. It might do, I don't know. But it won't get it just because it needs it. Somebody say amen. It'll never happen in the natural. You say, well, I've got a need. Don't God care? Yes, he cares. But remember, Jesus said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should plant seed in the ground. In other words, the kingdom of God works on the seed sowing principle. That's how it works. You would never expect to have a cornfield up there on that hill until somebody planted corn. I mean, nobody could argue you any way about that. And I said, why no corn up there? Because there's nobody planted any corn, Pastor. Don't you understand that? That's how it works. You would argue me down telling me that if I said, no. We all know we need corn. Why isn't it not there? But when it comes to God's word, somehow people just throw everything out the window, throw everything at the door, forget about what Jesus said when he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should sow seed in the ground. Act like he never said that and said, God, let's just do it another way. Just do it just because I have a need. That's not the case. People have needs all over this world. All over this world. And if needs were supplied only because someone has a need, nobody'd have a need. Because God doesn't want anyone to have needs. He doesn't want anyone to be sick or suffering or hurting or in pain or problems or in poverty or in lack or in hunger or starving. He doesn't want all those things. He doesn't. But men have planted the wrong seeds, and that is what they have reaped, the ungodly harvest. If we will turn them to planting righteous seeds, then we will reach a righteous harvest, and men won't have those things happening in their lives like they do today. And so it works that way. So get that understanding. It's not because God doesn't love you, God doesn't care, and, you know, God's going on a vacation, and he's just not around right now. And, you know, it's not any of those things that some people would say. It's not because you weren't born in some lucky star. It's not because you're not God's favorite. You're not because, oh, you just don't have needs in the first place. It's not because of any of those kind of things. It's because of what seed we have planted or have failed to plant. Now, look with me, Matthew 13. Everybody turn there. Turn there. Matthew chapter 13. I want to show you this. Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. I want to read this to you one more time here. Matthew 13, verse 18. How do I plant a seed in my heart? How do I plant a seed into my life? I have a real need, Pastor. This ain't no joke. This ain't no fairy tale. I got real problems, real needs. How do I plant a seed in my heart? Remember, Jesus said that the seed is the Word of God. So the seed that you are planting in your life is not sorrow. It's not pity. It's not I want some understanding. It's not I want some compassion. That's not the seeds we're planting. We are planting the Word of God in our life. If you ever been to the doctor and you had a need and you went to the doctor and he said, well, I feel for you. And I usually say something like, Doc, feel for me what? Give me a shot. I appreciate you feel for me. That's okay. But I didn't come here to find out if you felt for me or not. I come here to get the shot or whatever it was I was supposed to get, that kind of thing. No. Same way with God. It's not compassion when I'm looking for, although God's compassion, of course. It's not that his love and grace and mercy, although he is all this. I'm needing an answer to my problem. I'm needing God to do something about my situation. How do I plant a seed of the Word of God? I can't plant any other seed other than the Word of God. Okay? All right. Matthew 13, 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes a wicked one that catches away that which was sown in his heart. Notice the very first part of verse 19, when anyone hears. The last part that I just read, the seed which was sown in his heart. Hearing is sowing. Everybody say, hearing is sowing. When I hear the word of God, I am sowing the word of God. Right now, if you're listening attentive to me today, you're receiving and you're hearing the word of God. It's being sown into your heart. It may challenge some of our thinking. It may add to what we already know. It may build us up and encourage us. But in any event, it is a seed that is being sown into our hearts. Notice verse 20. That's one time. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that hears the word. Verse 20, the person that received the seed sown is the person that heard. Hearing is sowing. In verse 22, he also that received the seed in thorns is he that hears the word. Hearing, receiving is hearing the word. So if I want to sow the word in my life, I've got to hear it. That's how it happens. Verse 23, he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word. Four times in 6 verses of Scripture, four times Jesus gave us the secret, what people look for all over this world, and it's right there in front of us, staring us right in the face. The way I sow the word of God in my life is by hearing. I hear the word of God. that involves you not speaking the Word of God, saying the Word of God to ourselves, hearing the Word of God, maybe read from a biblical CD or tape or something like that, or someone preaching or teaching on the Word of God. Are you reading aloud the Word of God? But hearing the Word of God, letting it come in through that hearing mechanism, one of the five gates of your senses into your life, let it come in through that hearing realm. That is how I sow the seeds of God into my life. I must become a hearer. Everybody say, hearing is sowing. So then if I say to you, have you sown the Word of God into your life? Well, I don't know how. No, you do know how. You do know how. Sowing the Word of God is finding a scripture that meets your need, whatever it is. I'm going to look into the scriptures, and I'm going to see, what is it? Oh, let's go to Philippians, though, two easy ones in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. And so where am I going to get my strength to do what I'm going to do? I'm going to do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. That's where I get it. Did I ask my body, do I have strength to do it? No. It's not my body's decision. Did I ask my mind if I had strength to do it? No. It's not my mind's decision. What did I do? I sowed the seed of the Word of God that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And when you begin to sow that in your life, you'll find that there's virtually not anything that you will not be able to do that God has called you in His purposes and plans for your life. You will be able to do those things. Well, what about other needs? We can go into Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, the two in the same chapter, chapter 4. Philippians 4, 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So then, with times that are difficult, times that are hard, inflation prices are up, things are going on there, stuff is happening around, difficult to buy and sell these days, these kind of stuff, if you can find something to buy or sell, all those kind of things. Well, am I concerned about inflation? All of us in general, you know, I wish it was a different way. Of course I do. But am I going to be worried about it? No. Am I going to be stressed about it? No. Am I going to be problematic about it? No. Is it going to affect my life and how I live? No. Not any of those. Why? Why is it not going to do that? Because Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, my God shall supply all my need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So it doesn't matter what this economy does. It doesn't matter if you live in America, the most poverty-stricken country in the world, or this one that's quickly becoming that. It doesn't matter where you live or what you do or those kind of things. What matters is, have you planted that seed in your life? And so then, when we face these different challenges in our life, financially, for example, I recognize that my God shall supply all my need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So then I stopped a long time ago asking God what I can do or not can't do, or asking myself what I can or can't do. Stopped that a long time ago based on money. What I can do or what I can't do has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with God. Everything to do with God. God will send the money if money's what you need. Money's not a problem. God will send you that. Your problem is you need faith in God, and the way you get it is plant that seed in your life. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Everybody say this. Say, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's one. Say it again. Say, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When my dad taught me to plant corn, he said, put two or three little corn down there. Right? When you make that little hill, you put two or three down there. You don't just put one, you put two or three. Here's your third time. Everybody say, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Then when I say, bless God, my needs are all supplied. I'm going to live like my needs are all supplied, and they are. But I'm going to live like all my needs are supplied. They are supplied. They are supplied. Why? Because my God will supply all my needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's how you plant the seed. As you continually meditate on that and speak it into your life and say what God says, you're planting that seed in your life. What happens to seed? If you are good ground, now if you are a resistor, bad ground, even though you said that, well, he's making me say that, I guess I ought to say it. And if you're bad ground like that, then what happened is you're that hard, rocky ground or thorn ground, and you're just going to cast off that seed. You know, you're not going to let it develop in your life. But if you're good ground, as the parable tells us, if you're good ground, that seed's going to bring forth. Some of you it's going to bring forth 30-fold. Some of you it's going to bring forth 60-fold. And some of you it's going to bring forth 100-fold. That's what Jesus said. Somebody say hallelujah. That's what He said. What does that mean? What that means is financially, some of us will get to the place where we pay off all of our bills and not have one single debt in our life. Not one single debt in our life. Maybe I don't know if you want to call it 35. Some of us can go further than that. We get all our bills paid off, and wow, we got a little bit of money in the bank, a little bit here, a little bit there, and well, we're okay. We can do some good, solid things in our life, and you're at that 60-fold level. Some of you are going to, you know, get past all that, and you're going to become a millionaire, or multimillionaires, and as you do that, that's a 100-fold level. How many believes God can make a millionaire of you? Say amen. He can. It's not hard. Being a millionaire is very easy to do. And so God can do all of these things, but you got to plant the right seeds into your life. Planting the wrong seed. We just planted that good seed. But then what happened is you left today and you flipped on the radio and they said, it's the 4th of July today and prices of gasoline are the highest ever been and everybody's staying home because they don't have any money to go buy gas with. And then you say, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh, my. Not only that, I guess we need to go get groceries. My, have you seen the price of groceries lately? What I mean, what are we going to do with the price of groceries? Oh, two biggest things we have, groceries and gas. I guess most of us buy constantly. What are we going to do? And then we found out that the truckers, you know, they buy that same gas and their prices go up and that kind of thing has to happen. And everything just filters into all of our economy and all kind of things just start going up, 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 and up. And then you say, oh, my, sure is hard. It sure is a bad time. It sure is. You know what? I live in the same world you do. I know those kind of things exist, but that is not my confession. My confession is still the same. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter what gas costs. It doesn't matter those kind of things. It doesn't matter any of that. Doesn't God still going to supply all of our needs? Why would you believe that? Because that's the seed you got planted. But if you jerk that seed out and start putting this other seed in, you'll begin to worry and fret, and you'll tighten all up in all kind of ways in your life and cause you all kind of difficulties and problems. But if you keep that word in your life that God's going to supply all money, he always has. He'll always make a way for us. Somebody say amen. He'll always make a way for us. All right. So we're planting that seed in our life. Now, look at John 8:32. Jesus said it like this. He said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If what you know doesn't produce freedom, it ain't truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free or make you free. God's truth does it. When I learned that just now that we've talked about, that God's the one supplying all my needs, that truth will set us free and give us the freedom to live our lives based on what God wants to do in our lives, not what this world tells us we can do. Because the world, more than not, the world has told me I couldn't do something more than it's ever told me that I could. I can list you probably half a dozen things where the world has said, you can't do this, and it will not happen for you, and it's going to go down, it's going to go bad, it's going to be negative for you. I got five or six examples I can give you. Some of them give you before, of course. But I can give you those and see that. But those things never made a difference. They never made a difference. The Bible says, wow, it doesn't it? In Genesis chapter 26, speaking about Isaiah, Isaac. And the Bible says, Isaac sowed in famine and reaped 100-fold. Did he know there was a famine in the land? What are you doing planting a crop in a land that don't grow crops? The difference is, what kind of seed are you planting? God's word will grow. If you will plant it into your heart and your life, it will grow no matter what's going on around you. And you'll see all kind of good things happening around you and in your heart and in your life taking place. As I shared with you just last week, that recent miracle we just recently got on that land situation, that 25 acres. It's an amazing thing. Amazing how that God just goes before you and makes a way before you. Right in a time when everybody else says, no, it won't happen, won't never happen. I mean, just incredible. It didn't cost me anything. It's incredible. It's incredible what God will do for you. All right. Notice, the truth will make you free. So then, if you are bound in your sins, what you do not need to do is say, I'm a sinner, and I can't escape this sin, and I'm under this bondage, and how will I ever get free? I'd like to serve God, but I can't. I'd like to be, you know, a wonderful Christian, but I know things are too hard in my life, and I just can't give this up, and I can't quit that. If that's the seed that you're planting, you're never going to get saved. But if you plant the seed of salvation in your life, which is here, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free, and you plant that in your life saying, you know what? God will make me free. His truth will make me free. And the Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance, and I'm one of them all. And all I have to do is repent, ask forgiveness of my sins, and God will forgive me, and he will give me the power. The Bible said in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so God will give you a power to become the sons of God. It's not hard once you have that planted in your life. It speaks all the time about the prophecies of God that God has given, the preaching of God that he's given. All these things are for us to bring faith in our life, and we can be saved. We can do the same thing to be delivered. We can do the same thing when we're healed, all these kind of things. We talked, just glance at that. Look at Psalms 119. Let me show you real quick. I'm sorry, Psalm 107. Psalms 107 and verse 19. If you don't have this as one of your favorite scriptures in the Bible, it really ought to be. It's a great one. I have meditated this, memorized it, quoted it, wrote it, spoke it into my heart and my life so many times. Psalms 107, verse 19. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. See, right in the midst of their trouble. They cry unto the Lord. And then what does he do? He saves them. He saves them out of their, and notice this, out of their distresses. Right in the midst of my trouble, if I cry unto God, Scripture tells me he's going to save me. And how's he going to do that? Verse 20, he sent his word. See that? He sent his word. What got them out of their distresses? What got them out of their trouble? He sent his word. And what Jesus right on target when he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should plant seed in the ground. Jesus absolutely knew what he was talking about for sure. Verse 20, he sent his word, and what happened? The Fenton translation says it healed them, but King James said, and it healed them. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And so we can speak God's word into our heart and our life, and we can, you know, speak it to difficulties we may have in our body, challenges that we may have, and keep saying that to our body, speaking to our body, telling our body, you're going to be well, you're going to be whole in Jesus' name. You are well, you are whole in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus Christ makes you whole. By his stripes you're healed, Leon. He sent his word and healed. You're healed in Jesus' name. And I can just keep speaking that to my, and we'll see that seed grow up into a harvest of healing into our life. What if I don't? I won't see it, because that is how that the kingdom of God works. Now, look with me. Look at 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. 3 John 1, 2. This is another healing scripture that you can put into your spirit and a seed that you can sow into you. The Bible says, 1 John 3, 1 and 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Somebody said, well, if I prosper, then I might, you know, backslide on God and lose out with God and all this kind of stuff. No. That's a promise. As your soul prospers. As your soul prospers. So as you are a born again child of God, and just giving yourself to God, loving him, worshiping him, honoring him, filling yourself with the word from prayer, just obedient to God, those kind of things, then God wants you to prosper. And he wants you to be in health. Think about it. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? If you were running all of this world that's on planet Earth, and you had somebody that gave their heart and life to God, and now they're going to live their life to the glory of God, wouldn't you want to finance them so that they could live a good, long life and health? And wouldn't you want them to be healthy so they can do the things that they need to do in this life? I mean, it's just a great investment by God to do that into our lives as our soul is prospering. Now then, a problem sometimes is this. People, instead of planting the word of God, they come to it with all of these ifs, 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 and ifs. And they dilute the seed. They dilute the word of God into their life. Some people come to God and say, well, all that sounds pretty nicely. And the problem is I just don't know if that God's will for me. And, Lord, when I come to you, I don't want to get out of bounds here. I don't want to be brazen toward you, Lord. So I just say, Lord God, if it's your will, would you put food on my table today? If it's your will, God, would you heal my body? I've been hurting in pain, Lord. And God, if it's your will today, would you make me quit cussing and lying and cheating? You know, all these kind of things we ask. If it's his will today. Listen to this. The only thing you should ever pray, if it be thy will, is when you don't know his will. If you know what his will is, you are actually disrespecting God to pray, if it be thy will. I mean, if God came down to me and said, Leon, it's my will to bring healing into your life. And I said, well, Lord, that all sounds good. But Lord God, if it's your will, would you heal me? And God says, Leon, what did I just tell you? Well, you told me it was your will to bring healing to my life. And that's why I'm praying, Lord God, if it's your will, would you heal me? No, what am I doing? I'm questioning the integrity of God. I'm questioning his statement. I'm all but calling God a lie. When God has made his will clear and plain to you, simple and easy to understand as it is, when he's done that, I don't need to be asking God if it be your will. I know what his will is. I mean, somebody said, well, you know, you see that scripture there, 3 John 1 and 2, and the theologians get a hold of it. Well, that was nothing other than just a, you know, a little opening statement by John as he's writing to his beloved Gaius, all this kind of stuff. No. Was it that? Yes. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, see, all scripture is inspired of God. All scripture is inspired of God. Everybody say, all scripture is inspired of God. So does it have a local application that day? Of course it does. But it also, I'm not Gaius, and I'm not living in that day. I'm living now, and it has a local application to me right now in my heart and my life too. Because I know, if God wanted that through John to Gaius, I know if that's what he wanted to him. The Bible said in the book of Acts chapter 2, and Romans chapter 10, two different places, God's not a respecter of persons. And if God wants it for him, he wants it for me. He don't just love him and hate my guts. He loves us both the same. Both the same. What he done for one, he'll do for another. If you do the same thing that they did, you'll receive the same thing they received. Got to get to that place. God not playing favorites. He's not a God of partiality. He's not that way. He's not that kind of God whatsoever. He wants everybody. The Bible says, what is it? 2 Timothy 2:4, God is a God who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not slack concerning his promise to men count slackness, but he would have all men to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. And so God loves us all the same. And all of his blessings for all of us the same. He's not holding out on you. But if you keep having those ifs in your life, you'll never have a pure faith that it takes to receive from God. So do not dilute your seed by questioning God's word. That is diluting your seed at that point. All right. Look with me. I want you to go to another place here. I want us to see. Oh, my. Look at James chapter 5. James 5. Here's one that people see a lot as well. And I want to show you this. When you pray, and that seed is planted in your life, it must be a prayer that is recommended, that is a qualified prayer, a prayer that is designated in the Word of God. And in James chapter 5, if I ever get there in my new Bible here, in James chapter 5, look along about, where can we look? We can look a lot of places. Look about verse 13, James 5, verse 13. Planting the seed, activating it in our life, seeing things happen. What's the process? We're planting the seed of the Word of God. And in James 5, verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Everybody else don't always need to do your praying for you. Some people can pray for you all day long. Ain't nothing going to happen to you until you start doing some of your own praying. And so if you're under some of this affliction that he's talking about here, for example, you could come to me and say, Pastor, I'm depressed. You are. How much are you depressed? I'm depressed all the time. Would you pray for me not to be depressed? I'll say, I can do better than that. I don't have to pray one ounce for you not to be depressed. All I got to do is get you to quit listening to whatever you listened to that made you depressed in the first place. Well, I listen to the news. All right, listen to a different news. I heard somebody say this, let somebody else talk to you, don't listen anymore. Or I've been saying this myself, change your self-talk on the inside. Start speaking. All those things will change whether you are depressed or not. But I can't just lay hands on you and say, be thou not depressed anymore. And all of a sudden you say, wow, I just don't think on those things anymore. Why? You are a free moral agent and you may think on anything you want to think on. It's up to you to renew your mind or not. I can't get in your head and renew your mind. You can't get in my head and renew my mind. And until we do, if we're thinking depressful thoughts and those kind of things and having those kind of attitudes and issues, it'll remain with it. So we notice he said, if there's anybody here that's afflicted, let him pray. If anybody's married, let him sing psalms. In other words, you're going to bring those things to yourself. If you're afflicted, if you're depressed, you're discouraged, that's a good thing to do is start singing the psalms. The Word is working mightily in me. The Word is working mightily in me. No matter what I feel or see, the Word is working mightily in me. So I sing that. I sing that song. All those, I sing other songs. You know, you heard my story growing up a lot by myself, lonely when I was a young person until I met the love of my life. But I started singing, I'm never going to be alone anymore. And so I never talk about loneliness or doubt or fear. None of those things. They're not a part of my vocabulary, not in my mind to think about, not going to be there. Why? I'm singing, I'm making myself merry. And you need to do some things for yourself. But now, on the other hand, is any sick among you, call for the elders of the church. If something has overpowered you, has gotten you down to a place where you're not able to do some of these things, then call on some other folks to help you pray. And notice it wasn't just anybody. Call on the elders of the church. Who are the elders of the church? Those people who are mature in the spirit. Those people that you see living and acting on the word of God. Those people that sort of got their life together, those kind of things. We all have challenges that we face. We all have difficulties that come against from time to time. But you wouldn't want to, you know, call up to the person that just got kicked out of his house and his car got repossessed, try to ask him how to handle finances, would you? No. You want an elder, somebody who is accomplished in the faith, who's making their way and face some trials, of course, like we all do, but yet has had some overcoming victories in their life. Call on them. Call on the elders of the church. And then notice, let them pray. Oh, I love that. Let them pray. Oh, that's what they need. Somebody pray. Oh, God, somebody pray. Let somebody pray. Call the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. That's even better. Get some oil and put it on my forehead and anoint me. And in the name of Jesus, oh, that's great. Three tools right there. Let them pray. Let them anoint with oil. Let them do it in the name of Jesus Christ. We're calling God on the scene through the name of Jesus Christ, the oil representing the Holy Spirit of God upon our life. In prayer, we're praying to God. God himself. And so we right there got the Trinity involved in this. Wow, that's what we need to do. We really do. Really do. Not making a lie. We really, really do. But notice what gets the answer. And the prayer of something. Not just a prayer. Prayer don't get the answer. A lot of people pray and they cry and holler and scream, get mad at God, angry at God, tell God everything he's done wrong in their life, blame God for every circumstance in their life that they don't understand, mad at God, and they call that prayer. Some people pray and all they talk about is how bad it is for them and how woe is me and how terrible I am and how terrible I feel. Nothing's going right and everything's going wrong. And they pray that way for 30 minutes and wonder why they don't feel any better after all that kind of praying. It is not that kind of, it is not just prayer that heals the sick. Look what he says. Yeah, that's why you can call the prayer group. I mean, I got a friend, bless his heart, and he's Mormon, and today's his birthday. And you know what? He's out there doing a lot of things on a bicycle, spinning his wheels, really. That's a good analogy. He's on a bicycle, spinning his wheels. And he don't have an ounce of faith. I hate to say it, but he don't have an ounce of faith and does probably more praying than a lot of us do, but don't have an ounce of faith. His faith's in the wrong thing. We don't pray in the name of Joseph Smith. We just don't. We don't pray in the name of any person or being. You don't pray because I go to this church or that church. You don't pray because that's my pastor or somebody else is my pastor. No, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Not just any prayer will get you healed. You can have 1,000 people praying just any prayer and still not get healed. There's one kind of prayer that gets you healed. Notice what he said. And he says here, any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray. And what is it? Verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If somebody prays for you and they don't have a clue whether you'll be healed or not, you might as well not ask them to pray. If somebody prays for you and they think God's trying to give you a great biblical lesson and teach you a lot from this agony and pain that you're in, go on to the next person. Ask somebody else to pray. If somebody prays for you and starts saying things like, oh, God, Lord, we believe for healing in this person, but, oh, God, if it's not, you're not going to heal them right now, oh, God, let them go to heaven. If somebody's praying on me and I'm in a hospital room, they pray and I'm going to heaven right now. Go on down the road. I'm not there yet. You know, let me get prayer. Somebody believe I'm going to get out of this hospital. That's what I want. Send me somebody out there that can pray me out of this hospital, not somebody pray me into heaven. I ain't trying to get that far right yet, although I am on my way. But right now, I'm just wanting to get where I can get, you know, better on earth. So anyway, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith, the prayer of believing. The prayer of exercising faith in God. Now, here's the problem. Here's how this connection comes. The prayer of faith. What is faith? That faith is believing the word of God that's been sown in my heart and life. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word is a seed, and I've sown it in my life. So, the prayer of somebody standing on the word of God shall save the sick. The prayer of, don't you see how bad they're hurting? Doesn't save the sick. The prayer of, Lord God, that's my life. Don't let anything happen to them. Doesn't save the sick. The prayer of faith. Faith is what? Came by hearing. Hearing what? The word of God that was sown and planted into my life. That's going to bring the harvest. The prayer of faith, it says, shall save the sick. That's what saves the sick. It's the prayer of faith. So get you one person that believes God, stands upon God's word, and let them have faith, the prayer, and then you also have faith in your life. Now then, you might need an adjustment in the midst of that. Here's something I didn't know until the Lord told me this. It's been almost 8 months ago now in prayer closet. And I was questioning the Lord about someone that I knew who were very good Christians, great, wonderful man of God, young guy, great young man of God that died, and his young wife that he left behind with their two kids that they had, and those kind of things. And they mentioned this verse I just mentioned. They said, we're praying the prayer of faith, and he will not die. We're praying the prayer of faith. And they would say all kind of things. They were so, all this kind of stuff they were talking about. But there was something missing. And I didn't know what that was. And the Lord spoke it to my heart and told me what it was. And so here we are. We're about to see it. Notice verse 15. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord will raise them up. And if they have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. You've got to get yourself into a place. Andrew Murray, R.A. Torrey, Granson Finney, all spoke of this, older folks, 100 years ago, all spoke of this thing, that healing is not as much as of a physical thing as it is a spiritual thing. That the spirit of man must produce the healing, not healing just produced from the flesh, but healing is produced from the spirit of man. Had all these conferences in the 1850s and these Bible conferences that men and women would go into and teach what they call deeper life. The deeper life. Not just a little bit on top of our heads where we, you know, quote a little formula, but on the inside of us, something has happened. Transformation has taken place. And from that transformation, from that deeper life in our heart life, healing springs forth right out into our body. He says here that there is maybe an issue as well that might be, not always, but there might be, if they committed sins, they get forgiven as well. If somebody says, you know, Jack Coe said many, many years ago, and come into his prayer line when he was praying over in America in the big tent that he had over the, Jack Coe probably came out right in the 50s, right along in there, and didn't last long, maybe around 7, 8 years, whatever, and his marriage was, he left rather quickly. But anyway, when he was praying for this lady come up to him, and she couldn't walk, and asked him to pray for her to be able to walk, and he said, well, sister, what would you do if God was to heal you right now? She said, I'd be headed out to the dance hall tonight, dance. And Jack said, well, you just keep on walking like you do. I go, I ain't praying for you. He said, I ain't praying for you to keep on sinning. Somebody say amen. That lead balloon just hit, didn't it? But amen. Now, pray for somebody to keep on sinning. You got to be willing to give up your sins. You got to be willing to let go of them. This ain't no game. This ain't playing nothing. You come to God, you give him your all. Say, what does it cost to follow God? Everything you are. Everything you got. It's not a game. You turn your life completely over to him. Let God do whatever he wants to do in your life. And so notice, it's got that connection there. If you committed sin, they'll be forgiven him. And then let me get it here to close it out. Notice this. Confess your faults at the time that you've fallen. You've been in a place and you've fallen. Confess your faults one to another. So it's all right to talk with another. Didn't just say, get on the microphone and tell everybody about every sin in the world you committed. But those times when you've been at a certain level of God, you say, you know, I'm just not praying like I used to pray. What happened? I've fallen. I was at a place of prayer right here, and I'm falling down from where I was at. I'm just not in the Word like I was used to be in the Word. And what happened? I sadly had a minister tell me that a number of years ago, a wonderful young man of God, And it wasn't too long after that. He never did rise up after that. He never did. He just wasn't willing to rise up after that. And his life was ended a little bit early because of some of those decisions, but he just wouldn't. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. That guy that just prayed the prayer of faith, here he is, verse 16. This is what I did not know. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The man that prays the prayer of faith needs to be a righteous man. Sometimes we'll take the top level scenario of how things work and we don't dig deeper. That's the difference. The effectual, fervent prayer, not just a flippant prayer, but a fervent prayer that actually does some of a man coming from a place in right relationship with God. You know, we hear all the time on Facebook, somebody have a difficulty, and I appreciate their sentiment. I really do. But somebody will have something difficult going on, and people that you know have never darkened the doors of the church, don't know who Jesus is, and forgot all about if he even had a Bible or not, will say things like, when somebody has a difficulty, they'll say, praying for you. And that's it, just praying for you. And that's all they say, just pray. And it's nice. I respect them for wanting to maybe let the person know that they're saying that too, that they sort of care for them. But their prayer don't mean nothing. You got to be an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. A man that is right, or a woman that is right with God. A person that is not bound down by sin. A person that's not out of control in their own life, and they can't even control their own life, much less pray something for you. But a person who is right with God, in right relationship with God, honoring and trusting God, walking before God in all their hearts and lives, it's from that foundation of righteousness that you birth the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith is there, the prayer of something, the prayer of faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That righteous man that's been spending his time in the word of God is enabled to pray that prayer of faith. But the other people aren't. They aren't enabled to pray that. They're not walking righteously. How could they have faith? They don't believe the word of God is the Bible. They don't believe it is God's word. There's no faith there. And so that brought that key together. That's many times when we just run flippantly to our little formulas. And there are formulas, okay? Methodism, in Great Wesley is in a great church, a Methodist church. They had these methods of how to do things. God forbid if John Wesley saw where the churches fell to the day. I mean, it's unbelievable where it's at today. But at one time when they started out, these methods of rightness, methods of doing things good and holy and just before God, they formed this thing called a holy club. When you imagine that today, joining the holy club and a place where we're dedicated to walking right before God and honoring him in all of our ways, actions, deeds, and mouth and tongue and everything. They were producing that righteousness. From that was birthed out of the thing we call the holiness movement that was birthed out of the great Methodist church. And so we can come all the way down to right where we're at today. There's where the power lies. Get your foundation right. Before you ever pray that prayer, before you ever act on that word, so to speak, get your foundation right that you are saved, that you are born again. Fill the Spirit of God, that you love him, that you are honoring him, that he's your everything. You love him beyond what words can say, what anybody else can say or do in your life. He's the greatest friend that you have. It's incredible. It's incredible. 2 weeks ago, I'm going to close it. 2 weeks ago, you'll love this. God has a way of keeping you humble. But 2 weeks ago, we were in Malden, and we were picking up some stuff, headed towards Sam's to pick up some stuff for the church and for the meal we just had last week. And so we were up there, and we were doing that. And when we went into a place up there, a place we like to stop in Malden, it's a barbecue place. And so we stopped in there, a little barbecue place, and we stopped there. And when we were there, we were sitting down there, or we walked in and sit down. When we did, this older gentleman who was there, he got up. Immediately, he got up out from his table and walked over where I was at like that. He said, "Tell me something. Who is Jesus to you?" And I said, "He's the best friend I got. I love him more than anybody else I know. He sticks closer than any brother I've ever had. He's my everything. I want to serve him with all my life, and I love him like I cannot even express to you right now." And the man looked at me. He said, "I know it. I know it." He did like this. Oh, you should see him. He said, "I know it, brother." He said, "Because when you walked in," listen now. He said, "When you walked in, I felt the whole place change." I said, hear this, Sheila? I said, keep listening. He said, I felt the whole place change. He said, the anointing of God was everywhere. It's all over you, brother. Wow. And all I'm doing is eating barbecue sandwich. It's all over you, brother. He said, my God, what anointing follows you. I thought, well, hallelujah. I mean, glory. Woo, you hear that, Sheila? I mean, woo, wow. Then we left that. I said, well, God bless you, brother. God bless you. I said, we just all love Jesus around here. God bless you. And so we left and went over to Sam's. We loaded up the back of our car. And while I was loading up the back of our car, there was a lady behind me coming from Sam's, walking this way. And I noticed her sort of getting closer to me. When she got up close to me, she put her hand on my back. She said, here's a track. I feel like you need to be it. Lord wants to save you. And hand me a track. All in the same day, within about an hour and a half of each other. Boy, I tell you what. God knows how to keep you humble. Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, stay with me. Stay with me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God bless us all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lift your hands toward heaven. Pray this prayer with me. Stand together. Come on. All over the building. Stand. Let's pray. Lift your hands toward. Say, dear Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Lord God, examine my heart, my life. If there's anything in me that is not like Jesus, any sin, any secret sin, anything going on in my life that doesn't honor you, Lord God, forgive me of it. Take it away from me. Cleanse me by your precious blood and forgive me, oh God. Lord God, I acknowledge, I confess, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And Lord Jesus, I'll follow you and live for you all the days of my life. I give you praise, I give you glory, in the name of Jesus, and everybody say amen. God bless. Tell somebody you love in the house today.
Thank you for listening to this faith-filled message. Please connect with us at our website, gospeltabernaclechurch.com, so we can continue to be a part of your faith walk. And if you're listening today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time to do that. Now, today is the day of salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, I believe you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins on the cross, and you have raised him from the dead that I might be alive in him. Jesus, I confess you are Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome. You're now in the family of God. You're a child of God. Connect with us. Let us know if you prayed that prayer. We want to be right there alongside you as you walk out this journey of faith in Christ. God bless you.